the way it works out right now, we're not still yet done with Bishlami Do Raisa, the Torah level of cooking. We have to discuss this. And then one more share, and then we'll get to Chazara and Shehiyah and Friday night and the ovens and the warming drawers. Hopefully we have this and another shear to discuss those things. But let's discuss the concept today of Ein Bishl Achar Bishl. This is an important principle that we're going to invoke. We haven't invoked in the past already. The principle of that one is allowed to cook something that has already been cooked before. So we have here a Gemara in Shabbos. And Daf Kuf Mem Hei. The Gemara says, Kol Sheba B'chamen Me'erev Shabbos, Shorin Oso B'chamen B'Shabbos. Whatever was already put in hot water before Shabbos can be put in hot water on Shabbos. Therefore, anything that was cooked before and it doesn't have a prohibition of Bishol when it comes to Shabbos itself. Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. Sometimes people mistranslate that. They say you can't cook after you cook. It means Ein Isser Bishol. There's no prohibition of cooking once something has already been cooked beforehand. Now, we're going to see later on. Obviously, there's a lot of rabbinic laws that are going to put restrictions on that. You cannot take a steak, you know, a roast out of the fridge and pop it into the oven and say, well, Ein Bishl Achar Bishl. So we already assume that there's going to be a number of rabbinic restrictions to that, but let's deal with the things that are practical. There are some Rishonim, Rashi included, Rabbeinu Yonim Bava Basra, who say, Ein Bishl Achar Bishl, that there's no prohibition to cook something that's already cooked. So there needs to be a distinguishing between solids and liquids. And this is where things are complicated. And they say that yesh bishol achar bishol, it is possible to cook something that was a liquid and violate the isser d'oraisa of cooking when it comes to cooking on Shabbos. Why is this the case? So the Achronim, the Tehillah, the David, other Mefarshim explain that when we look at cooking, we kind of have to turn off our chemical hats of our chemists for a moment, and look it through the eyes of halacha. Yes, there may be a physiological change and a chemical change in the food, whether it reaches a certain temperature or not. But in the eyes of halacha, it very much depends on what we see. When I cook a piece of chicken, and now the cooking process is over, I see raw chicken, I see cooked chicken, it's very clear what happened. But in the eyes of halacha, when I heat up a bowl of soup, and it was cold, and then it was hot, and now it's cold again, so then it's the same soup. Nothing has changed, so to speak. There has not undergone a process that distinguishes that something halakhically happened to the soup. The only thing is the heat. The water that is 100 degrees is the same water that's 150 degrees. You can't tell any difference besides the heat. And therefore, the Mefarshim explain, that's why, according to these opinions, when it comes to liquids, yesh bishl achar bishl, because once it retreats from its hot status, therefore it goes back to zero, because what distinguishes this from what it was before I heated it up? And that's why there is still a prohibition of bishl achar bishl when it comes to liquids. Is that, we understand the difference between liquids and solids?
Yeah, I don't know how clear that is, because it's not like it's water. It has been cooked. The idea of how it got to be that particular liquid is because of the way it was cooked with all of the elements. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I'm saying that
it sounds like it's more of a temperature thing.
The halakha is not concerned. Yes, the halakha is not concerned with the periodic table of elements.
Right,
it doesn't care.
Right.
The halakha is concerned with the perception of cooking. The perception of cooking in water is indistinguishable from when I cooked it this morning, and I cooked it again this afternoon, and I cooked it again this evening. There's no difference between the two. Now, Kimat, all the other Rishonim disagree. And they say that there is no difference whatsoever. But the Rishonim say, I don't care if it's a solid or a liquid. The Rambam, the Ran, the Rashba, the Ran, everyone says that you can heat up cold soup. What's the difference? If the principle is Ein Bishl Achar Bishl, if the rule is that you're allowed, there's no Eastern cooking, once something's already been cooked, who cares if it's a solid or liquid? And the Shulchan Aruch follows those minority opinions. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Yud Ches, Tavshil, Shinis Vashel Kosarcha, Yesh Bo Mishum Bishulo Im Nitztanein. A food that was cooked to its completed stage, it is Bishul, there's still Bishul once it cools down. But Hanimili Sheesh Bo Bishul Achar Bishul, B'Tavshil Sheesh Bo Marak, The only issue with heating up something that's already been cooked is with marak, soup, a liquid. Something that is dried and has been cooked, I can take a boiled piece of chicken and I can take it and put it back into a hot pot of soup on Shabbos. If it comes to something that's dry. And that's clear from the Shulchan Aruch. Now, yeah.
You can take your like hot soup and put a cold piece of chicken in it and heat it through?
Midoraisa, according to the Torah.
Huh.
Not Midorabab.
Oh, okay.
Okay? We're going to have Chazaris,
yeah,
things
crazy.
Like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Just got excited for a minute.
Okay. So when the Shulchan Aruch says, in its tanein, that the liquid has been cooled down. So what does that mean? That could mean we could sit here and we could all come up with our own opinions of what that means to be cooled down. How do I know when I can't heat up that liquid anymore? That's important. So this is important, for example, and there's going to be other factors as well. But like, how do we decide when I can put, if I took the cholent off, when I can put the cholent back on the fire? You have to have your hands on the cholent and all things like that. But that distinguishing factor of if it has cooled down is important to know when I can reapply heat to something. If it's a liquid, that's important to know. So the Shulchan Aruch is very clear. In every single place, the Shulchan Aruch says Yatzah Lettuce Bow. So the Sfardim have a big Chumrah. If it drops below Yatzah Lettuce Bow, which is 120, so then the Sfardim can't put it back on. There's nothing to discuss. And this is how the Mishnah Berurah understands the Shulchan Aruch. Not that it's the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, but it's the opinion of the Chafetz Chaim in interpreting the Shulchan Aruch, that once, for Sfardim, once it falls below 120, which is our number for Yatzah Lettuce Bow, so then you can't heat it up again. Shabbos is over. It's done. Sorry. What about for us Ashkenazim? So the Rama writes in Shin Yuches Tesvav that as long as it has not cooled down completely, then there's no Isser of Bishol. Now, what does completely mean? It also is the Rama writes in Itztanin Legamre. We also can come up with our own opinion. So Rav Moshe writes, and he says that you would be interested in eating it if it was warm. You would still want it for its warmth. Not that, Nebuch, it's cold, I'll eat it anyway. That doesn't mean that you can heat it back up. Meaning, I would still enjoy it for its warmth. There would still be something in it for me. It would still be a cup of tea that would still be warming to me. I would still enjoy the warmth that's still left in the tea. That's also...
That's subjective.
That is subjective, 100%. That is subjective. But it's definitely lower than Yatzah Lettuce Bow.
This is liquids.
Liquids. We're only in the realm of liquids. So the Igalei Tal, the Sakhachar, the Rebbe says that until the liquid is room temperature, it's still edible. He is very, very vakil. Until it's room temperature, it's like Ma'achal Ben Drusai, right? Our friend, the bandit, who only ate the food when he was on the run. So it's the same thing over here. If it's room temperature, if it goes below room temperature, if you put it back in the fridge, then you couldn't heat it up. But once it's room, once it goes below room temperature, then that would be, that as long as it's not room temperature, then you're good. The Chazanish understands that really, according to the letter of the law, you can reheat cooked liquids on Shabbos. That's how the Chazon Ish understands. Really, according to the letter of the law, you can reheat cooked liquids on Shabbos, but we have a fear. If I allow you to reheat cooked liquids on Shabbos, what are you going to do? You may go and just take out a food that was never heated up on Shabbos. You have two pots of soup in the fridge. One was heated up Friday night, and the other one wasn't. How are you supposed to know which one was the one you heated up Friday night? So the Chazon Ish says, Chazal made a rule. We don't allow you to heat up liquids on Shabbos, even if they were heated up on heated up before Shabbos. Shema, perhaps you'll come and heat up something that wasn't heated up on Shabbos. So therefore, the Chazon Ish understands that any bishul achar bishul of liquid is a din derabanan. The rabbis are coming to protect the Torah, to make sure that you don't come to heat up something you shouldn't heat up on Shabbos. What's the nafkamina? What's the nafkamina is it's d'oraisa d'rabanan. That's very important. Let's say you need to be lenient for the sake of Suda Shabbos or Oneg Shabbos. Let's say all you have to eat is chicken soup. That's all you have for lunch. It's a liquid. It's a chicken soup. So we know that Shvus to Shvus v'mako mitzvah, if it's Asr Midura Banan to heat up this chicken soup now, not Midura Raisa, because it was already heated up Friday night, and you ask a guy to do it, that's a second Dura Banan, right? Amir al-Nachri is an Isser Durabanan. It's rabbinically prohibited. And it's for the sake of Oneg Shabbos, because without this you're not going to have any warm food for Shabbos, and it's a mitzvah to have warm food during the day on Shabbos. So in such a case, according to the Chazon Ish, you could have a guy heat up the soup for lunch. That would be an important nafka mina. I mean, the Chazon Ish is going to come out of kula, because whenever you need to be lenient to reheat something that was already heated up on Shabbos, it's only an Issur d'Rabbanan, not an Issur d'Oraisa. And that's important to know. Now the Mishabura says, we're machir, the Chazon Ish says we're lenient. You can ask the guy to heat up a liquid on Shabbos that was already heated up before Shabbos, if you need it for Oneg Shabbos for the Suda.
It was already heated up on Shabbos.
Meaning heated up before Shabbos, continuing into Shabbos. It was heated up. It was heated up in a permissible way before Shabbos.
And it was refrigerated.
And it was.
But it was don't refrigerated. That we don't do that.
And even if it wasn't heated up on Shabbos. Let's say I heated it up on Tuesday. And
nobody
I left for soup.
What? But nobody does that.
For what?
No,
yeah. Again, but it's important to know. Again, not that we're passing here, shooting from the hip, but it's important to know when you do
it's
go.
Important to know you gotta make something else. That's
when you do go to the when you do go to the rabbi and the rabbi says, "Well, da 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 da," you can do it in this case. It's important to know what's the Ravana and what's the Doraisa. So it's important to know the Shita of the Chazon Ish, because it's when you need a leniency for heating up an already heated liquid, the Chazon Ish holds it only. A derabanan, and it's a reliable opinion in a case, in a need by case basis, when a person needs food for Shabbos. Yeah.
So, this is a question that I've always wondered about. So, I make schnitzel for Shabbos.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's still like a little bit of like almost. Like,
we're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a second. Okay. This also touches upon. This is also important for if anybody's here, Rabbi Elbaz was here for Shabbos, and he spoke. Before Mincha, so you spoke about the gauge, the indicator, and the pumps. Oh, yeah. So this is a famous tshuva, Rav Avadya Yosef. Rav Avadya Yosef is a tshuva in the hot water pumps. In Yechava Das Chelik Vav Sim Chaf Aleph. So imagine the pump urn that you have in your house, right? There's an indicator. So where does that water come from? That water is heated up in the pot, and then it's all being filtered through and filtering and being heated up to a boiling point, to above Yad Saletus Bo, not boiling point, to above Yad Saletus Bo, and then the water hits its point and it maintains it. When you pump water out of that urn on Shabbos, do you ever watch the gauge, the water gauge?
Like flip up and down.
And what happens is the pump shoots water out. How does it know when to go down? Because when you pump it, the pump shoots water out of the gauge into the pot. And however the mechanics and the math works, it knows to shoot just enough water to tell you how much water there is left, right? So every time you pump, it shoots up and it goes into the pool with its friends, right? They're in the on-deck circle. The water in the gauge is in the on-deck circle. Then, whoop, it flies into the pool with its friends waiting there. Now, the water in the pool is much hotter than the water in the gauge, right? That gauge is outside of the heating element. So Rav Avadya Yosef wants to know, well, how then are you allowed? Isn't that ein bishul? Isn't that yesh bishul achar bishul by liquid?
Such a small amount.
So what? Can you cook this much chicken on Shabbos? Can you cook that much chicken?
Maybe it's.
So
he.
Batal shishim, right? A different area of Shulchan Aruch. So
that's what I really thought it was.
So he gives three reasons, which each reason on its own is not valuable. But Rav Avadya Yosef is always a mitzarif. He combines different reasons together to come out with a leniency. So he says, you can assume that at one point it was heated, and therefore you can rely on the opinions who say, ein bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. So let's go with, he says, first leniency is those rishonim who say, you can heat up already cooked liquids. The second thing is that it's a psik resha, dol ichpas lei, right? Remember the chicken without a head? So it's a psik resha. Do I want that water in the gauge to be heated up? No, I can care less if it's heated up. I just wanted to know. I just want the hot water from the pump. So it's a psik resha. I don't care for it. And therefore, some rishonim say, again, we don't follow these rishonim on our own, but some rishonim say, you can rely on them. That's permanent enough to make it mutter. And the third is that it's a gurama. A gurama means secondary act. I'm not actively taking the water from the gauge and pouring it into the hot water, it's happening secondary. I'm pushing down the pump and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then it jumps into the pool with its friends. But I'm not actively doing it. So again, that's the discussion, is not a real grama. But for those three reasons together, Rav Avadya says that this is allowed, and all the other poskim agree with Rav Avadya is safe. They all cite his tshuva. Piyaz Nidbu, Binyamin Zilber, the Olet Sion, Rav Yitzhak Abadi, the Orchel Shabbos. The Orchel Shabbos is the rabbi for, two rabbis from Harnof. The Orchel Shabbos, you know the Shemir Shabbos Kelchasa, right? So the Orchel Shabbos was like a response to the Shemir Shabbos Kelchasa, where they thought the Shemir Shabbos was too lenient, too machmir, whatever it was. And it's kind of like a blow-by-blow disagreement with him. And then in the last edition, before Rav Neuber passed away, he responds to the Orchel Shabbos. In this edition, there was an ongoing feud between the two. But Rabbi... I just blanked on his name. But the Orchel Shabbos writes that it's best to wait an hour after turning it on to ensure that all the water isn't boiled. Meaning you should not pump the water until it has been pumping for, at least going for an hour to make sure all the water in the pot has been boiled. That's probably a good chumrah to be careful about since we're relying on a number of leniencies here. But you shouldn't use the water. Again, you fill,
before Shabbos.
You put on the water. Well, you shouldn't be putting water into the boiler that's cold 3 seconds before Shabbos anyway, because you're going to Shabbos. So if you put it up a half hour before, so don't use it for another half hour into it, whatever it is. Wait, make sure it's an hour after you set it up, according to the Orchel Shabbos.
Why wouldn't they just do two gauges then? In other words, you have this gauge
yeah.
that says this is how much water is in here. Then yeah. there's something that makes it pump into like a second gauge.
Yeah.
It doesn't go back in the thing.
Yeah.
So this is like the.
I hear it catches water. It.
Yeah, and this is the one that's left.
I hear. I don't know. It's a good idea. Shark Tank. I don't know. I hear. It's all right.
Kosher
Shark Tank. Okay.
There is one.
So it comes out like this. Svardim who takes hot pot, who takes soup off the hot plate and want to return it, they have to make sure it doesn't go yatsa lettuce foe. Ashkenazim can return the soup even if it's fallen below the temperature as long as it's fully cooled, right? You want to have more chicken soup Friday night, right? What are more chicken soup? You have a bowl now, and you like to have chicken soup later before you go to bed. Some people need it. So the so you want to have an extra bowl of chicken soup. So in such a case, for Ashkenazim, as long as it doesn't fall, it's done in the gamra, you're fine.
But we can really do that?
People no. As long that's as long as
you hold on to it
and you have daito lach, so you have a mind to put it back, and all those other things as well. But
it's
again,
not reaching that low of a temperature.
Well, Charlotte, you could hold on all
night. No, I'm saying, let's say, no, let's say, no, I'm saying, even 5 minutes, it could fall we'll below your soft spot, maybe. Maybe not. Depends how big your blood is. Depends how good your blood is. Okay.
For the soup, you could hold on to it, dish it out for the bath.
Yeah, that would be fine. Yeah, for sure.
And you can recover it.
And recover it. Don't recover it on the flame, recover it off the flame.
You can't shower while it's on the hot plate, right?
Well, technically, if it's only liquid, if it's only clear broth and there's nothing else, then technically you could.
But not with vegetables.
There's other things in there that we're concerned if it's cooked up. We'll discuss and talk about like stirring and covers and things like that. Okay.
But if you have it on a covered fire.
Then what?
The chicken soup to keep it on.
To serve it from there?
Not to serve it from there, but you were saying like...
To put it back.
Yeah,
as long as you have your hand on the soup the whole time and you have a mind to put it back, then that's fine.
And you have a blach.
And you have a blach. The blach has to be covered, all those things. Okay, how do you know if something's a liquid or a solid for this discussion? That's important to know. So the Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham is one of the most fascinating Sfarim of the Rishonim. For about 700 years, we did not have a new print of Rabbeinu Yerucham. It was the same old photo offsets. It was used for hundreds of years because there was a chayrim, there was a curse that nobody could explain. There was some sort of curse on the reprinting of Rabbeinu Yerucham. People would, these crazy stories, the guy was like walking to the press and he got run over by a wagon or something, all these crazy stories, and people were afraid to reprint Rabbeinu Yerucham. Somebody broke the curse. They began reprinting it in the last few years. But Rabbeinu Yerucham is one of the very important Rishonim. So the Beis Yosef has a contradiction in the Rabbeinu Yerucham. One Rabbeinu Yerucham indicates that we have a mixture of solids and liquids. You follow the majority. That's how I know. I got meatballs and sauce. If there's more meatballs and sauce, you follow the majority. Then it's a solid. It's not a liquid. That's one shita. However, later on, the Beis Yosef cites Rabbeinu Yerucham, who says that it's usher for the food to contain any sauce. And anything that does contain sauce is considered a liquid. And you can't have any issues of ein bishlach or bishlach anymore. Now, there is a strong evidence from manuscripts of Rabbeinu Yerucham that the citation of Rabbeinu Yerucham, where he's lenient, is a mistake. It's probably that he's machmer. It's probably that he's machmer. We see from manuscripts that the Beis Yosef may have cited it incorrectly, and therefore he's probably machmer. So what do we do at the end of the day? The Prima Gadam says that we decide the status of the mixture based on rov, majority, and the reason we ignore the minority is because I don't really care about it. I don't want the sauce. I want the sauce to be there. And since the Torah forbids only malachas machsheves, malacha that I'm interested in, therefore that's what's going to be also. And this is the Shita of Rav Avadya Yosef for Sephardim. For Sephardim, according to Rav Avadya Yosef, you can follow majority. If you have chicken, more chicken, a little bit of sauce, it's salad the whole way, take it out, put it on the blech, you're good to go in Bishlach Ravishal. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav.
And we hold that we can eat that food?
Let's say you eat at someone's house with Sephardim. You could eat the food, correct.
I have to marry
Sephardim.
But that's a very we can analyze.
Sorry, talk
to
me about that afterwards. Sephardim
also
about
here a lot.
So,
yeah.
Like,
so,
I also think
they're close.
Thank
you. Yeah, 100%. Okay. On the other end of the extreme is Chabad. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Baal HaTanya, the first Rabbi of Chabad, the Shneur Zalman writes in the Shulchan Aruch, that the food has to be totally, totally dry. You have to pat it dry. Can't have any liquid on it whatsoever. And this is cited by the Ketos HaShulchan. The Ketos HaShulchan is Rav Chaim Na'a, who was the great Rav of Yerushalayim. You may have heard of him from his measurements. You may have seen this is the sukkah has to be like this according to the Chazon Ish, and like this according to the Gerach Na'a. Rav Chaim Na'a was a chashav Lubavitcher Rav in Yerushalayim, and he got a big machlokas with the Chazon Ish about the measurements. So he writes as well that it has to be totally dry. And that's the Minhag Chabad. Minhag Chabad is it has to be totally, totally dry if you want to heat up any salads. We, in the middle, follow the Mishnah Berurah of the Chafetz Chaim, who gives a compromise. You shouldn't keep the sauce in the dish, but you don't have to wipe it. You simply pour out the liquid, whatever residual liquid is there, whatever sticks. You don't have to be a malach. You don't have to sit there and sponging it off, whatever it is. You pour whatever you can, whatever sticks around is perfectly fine. That's halacha lemaisa. For Ashkenaz. What?
Wouldn't that be
boner? Well, assuming you'll do without boner, 100%. Assuming that you, we'll talk about what to do, we'll get to, let's give a step by step in a moment, but assuming there's no issues of boner. Now.
Is that only if the food is going to reach out to lettuce, but what if you have it on a plant?
If it's never going to reach out to lettuce, but then do whatever you want.
Oh, okay.
Or you could eat it, if you know that the food's not going to reach 120 and it's going to go to 110. So then have lukewarm, it's a great place to grow bacteria. But,
it's not a one
if
you put it on top of the thing on the blech, it's going to get enough lukewarmness to eat.
Yeah,
it's
going
to
be enough, but not hot.
Correct, 100%. Well, not boiling, it has to be absolutely. Right. Right. So you have to know. Oh, you have to know what it's going to be.
So, you take some of the sauce and then you add a little hot water in it.
Say again?
Can you take some of the sauce and add a little hot water on it?
How hot is the water?
From the urn.
That's atzilus, though. Okay. That's going to be an issue. Let's say you're not sure if it's like a solid or liquid like...
But you could do it in the tea. In other words, the tea...
You have to do a fish even.
No. The tea that cooled down a little bit.
Yeah.
You can add the water to.
Correct.
So if the liquid...
The liquid never got hot, though.
Huh?
The liquid was never hot.
Never hot to begin with.
Right.
Let's say you're not sure if it's a solid or a liquid. So Moshe says you have to go back to science class and look at the viscosity. If it flows, it's a liquid. If it doesn't flow, then it's a solid, says Moshe. That's what it comes down to. You don't have to sit there, with a stopwatch and figure it out. But,
right.
If it looks like a liquid, it's a liquid.
But it turns into a liquid.
Thank you for that segue. Let's get to congealed liquid.
Like a
good.
Delicious.
So,
but if you have a thick sauce. Yes.
Okay, so comes Rav Yosef Karo, comes Maran, Beis Yosef, and he writes in one place in the Beis Yosef and the other in the Shulchan Aruch regarding something called an infanta. An infanta is like a, I don't know, I always read it as like an empanada. It's a dough with a congealed fat or sauce inside of it. It's like a packet, and when you heat it up, the fat or whatever the substance is, it turns into a liquid inside of it. This is what they were eating in the days of the Beis Yosef. So he says when heated, the fat melts. So, well, this is the same thing. You have a piece of chicken that was in the fridge. It has congealed fat on it, and you want to heat it up. So what's the case? What do we say about that? So the Beis Yosef says that melting the fat into a liquid would be bishul, because it's going to become a liquid. But in the Shulchan Aruch he writes, mutter litein in pananda keneged ha'esh v'makom shayat ha'leres, v'afal pisha shuman shabad nekrash kozer v'nimuach, even though it's going to melt and turn into a liquid. So in the first edition he says it's asr. When he puts it in the Shulchan Aruch he says it's mutter. So what are we supposed to do? So the Levush, Rav Mordechai Yaffe, is the Talmud of the Ramah. The Levush and others argue it's a mistake. It can't be. And therefore, he said the Isser Bishul applies to melting fat, and he's machmer across the board. That's one approach. The Magen Avraham and others say that the Beis Yosef is discussing uncooked fat. That's when he was machmer. When the fat was never cooked before. But in the Shulchan Aruch, he's talking about congealed cooked fat. And therefore, he allows it. And therefore, the prohibition of Bishul doesn't apply to melting congealed fat, which is important. When you have that piece of chicken, you have a chicken that's sitting in a pan and all the sauce congealed. So the Mishavur is also lenient. To Kevinshu Yavesh, because it's solid right now, even though it's cold, he says it's gonna, even though later on it's gonna melt out, but right now it's a solid, he says, I don't care what it's gonna be later on, right now it's a solid, and therefore ein bishul achar bishul. However, comes the Chayadam, who's Machmir, not to the Sachatchila, and the Shulchan Aruch Rav and the Chaznish and Rav Moshe and Rav Ad Yosef allow heating up something that's congealed. Halacha l'maisa. That would seem to be the prominent opinion. Now, why are we lenient? Again, what is it? Like we said, because I'm not causing... Rabbi Akiva Eger explains that I'm not actively causing it to cook. I'm taking a salad. I'm putting it by a heating source. On its own, it's going to be melting out. But I'm not actively doing anything to it. On its own, it's going to eventually turn into a liquid. And since I'm not actively causing that solid to turn into a liquid, which will then be heated up, therefore, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, therefore it's 100% fine.
Well, so you're not really eating the liquid. Like when that's chicken with sauce, let's say, like you're doing it for the chicken. Now, it's not soup that you want.
But what does that have to do with if we want to eat it or not?
No, meaning like that's not the it. Right. Like you're warming
it's
it up
like
for the chicken.
You're
not
drinking.
Warming
right.
it up.
You're just
like
doing it. So
you're warming up for the chicken, not for the sauce.
Just so the meat itself should not be dry, but you're not doing it because you're actually going to be drinking the gravy.
But you do want it to... I hear all the points.
Put the gravy on the chicken. Some people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but you're not drinking the gravy.
Right.
Soup,
you're actually...
Okay.
So you're saying that's allowed?
To do what?
If it's congealed, you can
you
eat it up?
Meaning if attention plays a part in this, then...
One second. That's all good according to the Shulchan Aruch. Where's the Ramah in all of this? So the Ramah comes and says, very nice about Bishul, but there's another problem, and that is molid. What's molid?
Forming something.
Molded is creating an entity that did not exist before. I'm not going to get into discussion right now, but it has to do with like ice cubes. Ice cubes, melting ice cubes on Shabbos, making ice cubes on Shabbos, things like that. You're creating a new reality that wasn't there. This is a liquid, now it's a solid. This is a gas, now it's a liquid. This is a whatever, back and forth. So the Ramah forbids heating up congealed fats on Shabbos because it's molded. You're taking a solid and you're turning it into a liquid. However, the Mishabura writes in Sifkas and Kofhei that there's a difference between Bishul and the issue of molid. When it comes to molid, so that's an issue when it's noticeable. For example, I should not take ice cubes out of the fridge and put them on the counter and let them melt. It's weird, but in addition, that would be molid, okay? Because I'm causing it to go from solid to liquid. But that's only, again, this is an Isser Derabbanan. This is a geder the Chazal had because they wanted to prevent us from acts of creativity on Shabbos, where I'm changing forms. But if I take
the
ice cube...
But if I put the ice cube into a liquid,
do you notice if it's melting? No? You don't see it? You're not paying attention to it. It's not something you notice. You don't notice the change in the form. It's melting slowly and over time.
So then you can't put it in an ice bucket either.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Ice buckets would be an issue, correct. Unless you put some water in the bottom of the ice bucket first.
Really?
That would be okay. But ice bucket, correct.
The trick of leaving the ice cubes on the counter, you mean like wanting to watch them melt? Or you mean like You forget to put them back in.
No, well, if you forget, you forget. So you did your best. But you, let's say you wanted cold, I don't know, let's say you wanted water and you just wanted to melt.
No, you just
ice.
Put it down for a few minutes.
Maybe they would two stuff together and you only wanted one.
Exactly. So whatever. So if you're going to, when it comes to ice cubes on Shabbos, they should be put directly into something that has liquid. You should not put out cups with ice in everybody's cup, for example. It should be directly into liquid because of the issue of molded. Now,
so you can't use an ice bucket.
Water in the bottom.
You know that power of whipped cream smacking good?
Yeah.
Now I'm interested.
It has a whole disclaimer on the side about using, don't use this on Shabbos,
really?
It's molded.
The whole shtickle toner.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whether that's considered that's enough, maybe we'll discuss that for another time. However, that's important. That's important. Because if the only issue, according to the Ramah, is molded, then if you take that sauce and you take that chicken with the sauce and you put it onto a food, like a bed of rice or something like that, then it's not a problem because you're not going to notice, just like putting the ice cubes into the water, if you put the chicken and the sauce onto another food and it's dissolved onto the food, again, the mold is not going to be an issue as well because it's falling onto another type of food and that would be okay as well. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, there's no problem with molded, and therefore Sfardim can heat up the food with the concealed fat, even if there's a lot of sauce around at the end of the day. The Ramah also agrees one could be lean in case of need, but a person does a chol or something like that, and even Ashkenazim could be lenient to heat up food with a lot of congealed sauce. So let's come out halacha lemaisa at the end of the day. How do we come out here? So lichatchil, the best thing to do is you should take the chicken out of the sauce before Shabbos, put it in another pan, so it'll be possible to heat it without the sauce. And even if there's just a little remnants of sauce, we said it's not important, but the chicken should not sit in the sauce over Shabbos. That's the best thing. You didn't. You open up the fridge Shabbos morning, you see the roast chicken there, it's sitting in all of its glory, in its bath. So what are we supposed to do now? So you should take the chicken out and put in another kli. That's not boter because it's ochel. You talk psolus. It's good from the bad. That you don't want the sauce. You want the chicken, and then there'll be other congealed sauce in the chicken. Fine, but in the case of meat, again, we said tzorech for the Shabbos meal, we're not so concerned. There's another thing you can do as well, which is what we said is that you can take the chicken and put it onto like a food, rice, some other type of side, and let the melt onto that, and that'll be okay as well. At the end of the day. So this is part one of Ein Bishlach Har Bisho and sauces and things like that, liquids. And next time we'll discuss the last part, and that'll bring us to the end of the dough rices of Bishlach Shabbos. Okay, stop here.